हरिः ॐ सहनावावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 69. Sukadev Goswami continued. With the arrival of autumn, the ocean and the lakes became silent, their water still, just like a sage who has desisted from all material activities and given up his recitation of Vedic mantras. In the same way that the practitioners of yoga bring their senses under strict control to check their consciousness from flowing out through the agitated senses. The farmers erected strong mud banks to keep the water within the rice fields from draining out. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. In autumn, farmers save the water within the fields by building strong walls so that the water contained within the field cannot run out. There is hardly any hope for new rainfall. Therefore, they want to save whatever is in the field. Similarly, a person who is actually advanced in self-realization protects his energy by controlling the senses. It is advised that after the age of 50, one should retire from family life and conserve the energy of the body for utilization in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there's no possibility of salvation. Right? So if the senses are being engaged other than in Krishna's service, then the difficulty comes is that how will you remember Krishna, how you'll be absorbed in Krishna. Right, so that's the point, is that as that goes on, then there's going to be problem. So that's why then it's recommended that one then therefore builds these, how you say, strong walls to contain the senses. Because otherwise, in the same way that the practitioners of yoga bring their senses under strict control to check their consciousness from flowing out through the agitated senses. Because your consciousness is then what is manifest in the external. So then if it's going out through agitated senses, then that means the consciousness is going in that way, in a material way or a polluted way. If it's going out in devotional activities, then it's going out in that way. So then it's engaged. So that doesn't, you don't lose any potency that way. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of being very careful to see that everything's being engaged in Krishna's service. So that way the senses are controlled. So the idea is that, as we discussed before, is that the vanaprastha aspect is so that the senses can be controlled and engaged in Krishna's service. So we don't engage in all the indirect activities. Those are reduced down to just what is necessary for maintenance. And then all the focus of the senses is on engagement in the direct activities of devotional service.
All right. On the level of sadhana, when the taste is very rare, as we said, and absorption even more rare.
Taste is rare, absorption more rare.
Yeah, so we see that sometimes devotees, they become tense because they try to concentrate and keep their senses, not sense objects, but from sense enjoyment.
Right.
And they cannot even relax.
Yes, but the point is they're supposed to engage the senses in Krishna's service, right? So just like an example, we want to control the tongue. So what does that mean?
Prasadam.
We take prasadam. Does that mean the prasadam has to taste bad?
No.
Yes. You understand? So most people think, no, controlling the senses means I don't eat anything nice. No, controlling the senses means engaging in Krishna's service. So if a preparation is nice, then you'll appreciate Krishna in the form of prasad, so you're engaged in the service. But we take it, no, the senses aren't engaged. That's control of the senses. That's the control that actually you can't maintain. You know, you're super pious, then you can up to an extent, but we see it didn't even work out for Vishwamitra. Right? He's walking around here, he's fine, but Menaka shows up, he's not fine. Right? So that's the point, you know. So he would have survived Marilyn Monroe, but he didn't survive Menaka. You know. So that's the whole point, is that they're only up to a point. While then Prabhupada shows in contrast then Haridas Thakur. Then when the local prostitute came, then now which prostitute would have showed up? Right? Means she, you know, she's coming there to try to distract him. Right? So then they know he's a solid sadhu. And he's disturbing. I'm not sure that someone didn't put her up to it. I don't remember exactly. Yeah. So now, the person who put her up to it, is he going to go look for the individual who he would save money on? Or is he going to find whoever's the top and go for that one? So, in the Vedic system, the top ones are the ones that are very refined. They know the arts, they know how to deal, they know the behavior, they're very pious in the way of, they are always giving charity and all, because they make more money. So they're giving charity, doing yajnas, involved in big social things, working with all top people, like this, right? So is he going to go for one of those, or the ones that lights the cigarettes and says you have 15 minutes, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point. He's going to go for the top ones. So that means that she's not just an ordinary girl. Right? And so, but that's not a problem for him. In fact, by that one night's association that she sat there and heard him chanting, then when he moved on from that place, she sat in that place and then chanted and everyone respected her, and she's described as an Uttamataka. Right. But then, you know, and then at one point Maya Devi herself came, right? And you can get, okay, even if you can get by, you survive Menaka, you know, or Urvasi, like Arjuna. Urvasi came and he just said, you know, no, you're my mother, you know, so like that. Didn't work out so good for him on certain social platforms, but, you know, his Krishna consciousness, you know, was not disturbed. You know, and then Haridas Thakur, then after that chanting, then she accepted initiation from him in Krishna Nam. And she had initiation from her husband in Ram Nam, but not in Krishna Nam. So we see is that that's engaged, that's the point. Control the senses means they're engaged, not that they're not engaged. Because the ones that don't engage them, then if something comes along that's greater than what you have the piety for, then it will overrun the senses. So that's why only Krishna can control the senses. But we have to surrender to Krishna in devotional service for that to happen. So as long as we think I'm controlling, then you will see that tendency of that they'll be agitated and be careful what you say or what you do or this or that, because they tend to get upset easily. That's what it mentions. The Munis, so that, you know, these rishis, they're defined as those who are very powerful, but they get angry very easily. Right? Because they're controlling the senses, but they haven't been, either they're not interested in engaging them, so they'll get even more angry, or they will, like Durvasa, or they're engaging, but it hasn't come to that point where it's as full as it could be. Does that make sense? And then we understand control anger. Then we have a problem when we get to the further ones of those who are fully controlled, they're associates of the Lord, but when you do something that'll disturb Krishna, then they get angry. But no, but you're not supposed to get angry. And yeah, so then it comes out the other side, and then we get those questions. Is that okay? Yeah, so it will happen, but it just means that they're successful to some degree in controlling the senses, but the connection to Krishna and understanding that needs more work. So that should be respected, so therefore we don't try to disturb them. Like that. You know, so we don't, every day they sit in a particular place and chant. We don't, like, stick a potted plant there or something just for fun, you know, like that. You know. Yeah, because that kind of stuff didn't work out for the young boys in Dwarka, you know. Don't mess with the sadhu. Yes.
So then this verse, Vachavega Manasakrodha Vega, it's a description of a spiritual master, but that it sounds like the Madhyam platform.
Because that's the platform that all anyone who's a spiritual master functions at. Now, whether their realization is Madhyam Kanista or Uttam, then that's another point. But the higher the realization, the easier it is to control, because what's happening, the higher the realization, the more the control is in, the more the engagement of the senses in Krishna's service. So it comes. Then you see the next things about Niyamagraha. So it's not that they're controlling the senses, but it's about why they're controlling the senses. Because Niyamagraha already deals with that point. Because Niyamagraha includes those who very strictly follow the rules and regulations but don't know why. Mm-hmm. You know, and then of course we have maybe less examples of that and more examples of those who don't know why and throw out the rules. Or those rules that they do accept by their own conditioning, then they are the Niyamagraha on the other side, that they follow the rule but don't know why. You know, even though it's a speculative rule, but like this. So then we see is then that they're always engaged in activities with the devotees and like this. So then you see the positive things, what they don't do, what they do, how they see. So then it's just taking that. Yeah. So. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the autumn moon revealed all creatures of the relieved all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun's rays, just as wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by his identifying with his material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieves Vrindavan's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, during the daytime in autumn the sun is very scorching, but at night, due to clear moonshine, people get relief from the day's fatigue, right? Because the autumn gets warmer than the rainy season. Like that. And you have that it's wet. And I think one astrologer was telling me, he showed me once that I think during this time it comes up on the southern horizon, a particular constellation that you'll never see the whole year. It comes up, and when it comes up, the influence of that is it drives things up. And also the sun, Prabhupada mentions that it gets a little bit more hot to dry up the water. So you know, then in the West it's known as the Indian summer. Right? Indian summer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. It's autumn, but sometimes you get it. It started to cool down in August and goes into September. It warms up. So it's that influence because of the nature of the sun. It's doing that for where it does rain and the constellation and all that kind of stuff.
This is now?
Like yeah, it means we're just passing it now. Like you noticed before, it got really hot for a while. It was like up in the 30s and things like that. Well, before that, it was a little less. It goes down, then it goes back up, and then it goes down. So it's saying in the day it's still hot, but the evening is very nice. Right? So then we can see now is that the mornings, the evenings are very pleasant. So in that way, you could say from that aspect. So it's really nice, but the days are still warm, too hot. Well, in summer, the mornings, evenings might be nice, but might not be nice. You can't guarantee. If the wind's blowing, there's been a storm, it will be. But in the autumn, the mornings and evenings are always nice, but the days not as much. Right. So she's saying that the moon then relieves that. So in the same way is that by identifying with the body, then one becomes relieved of that by coming in contact with the wisdom of Krishna consciousness. Because if you identify with the body, you suffer, right? Because if you identify with the body, that's for the purpose of enjoying. And so as soon as you have Prahlad Maharaj says, as soon as you have the desire to enjoy, its misery is born with it at the same time. They're twins, right? And that's the whole, you know, that's the whole point. And so then that, by knowledge of Krishna, that will go away. at the same time as then the moon also comes out, and then the Braja, the damsels of Braja, then they get some relief, because then the night time is when they can see Krishna. Okay, similarly, a person who takes shelter of Mukunda or Krishna can be saved from the fatigue of misidentifying the body with the self. Mukunda or Krishna is also the source of solace for the damsels of Vrindavan. The damsels of Brajabhumi are always suffering because of separation from Krishna. But when they meet him during the moonlit autumn night, their fatigue of separation is relieved. So, yeah, so like that, you can see it. We see more now it's coming out about, when it started it was more about the social things and the kings and the, you know, like this, and now we noticed in the autumn it's more about the vanaprastas, the sannyasas getting into the gopis and like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, free of clouds and filled with clearly visible stars, the autumn sky shone brilliantly, just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when the sky is clear of all clouds, the stars at night shine very beautifully. Similarly, when a person is actually situated in Krishna consciousness, he is cleared of all dirty things, and he becomes as beautiful as the stars in the autumn sky. Although the Vedas contain instructions for pursuing knowledge, jnana, for practicing mystic yoga, and for engaging in karmic activities in the form of sacrifices, the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. One has to accept Krishna consciousness after thoroughly studying the Vedas. Therefore, the clean heart of the devotee in Krishna consciousness can be compared to the clean sky of the autumn season. So then, understanding this, then one's cleared from all these misconceptions of karma, jnana, and yoga. And then one's just situated in bhakti. So then, like that, the beautiful autumn sky then shines forth. So then the devotee, then they have that very nice consciousness. Right? So if you're studying the Vedas, thoroughly studying the Vedas, how can we thoroughly study the Vedas? No? We want to, but that means thoroughly study the Vedas, so we would have to study all the Vedas. How would we do that?
With rest attention.
Study Bhagavad.
Yes, by studying Bhagavatam, right? Because the Gita then is giving the Vedanta Sutra is the essence of, the Upanishad is the essence of the Veda. So in other words, what is the wisdom there, how to get disconnected from the material world and connected to the spiritual world, and how to develop devotion for Krishna? That's mentioned in the Upanishads, right? That's the Uttara Mimamsa, that's the focus. The Purva Mimamsa, and that's more about the Karmakanda, sacrifices, yoga, and all that kind of stuff. And so then coming to that position, then Vedanta Sutra will be the essence. And then the natural commentary on that, to actually understand what that is, that will be the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the preliminary study to the Bhagavatam, so that we can understand all the points that will be discussed, that's the Bhagavad Gita. It's also known as Gita Upanishad, or the essence of all the Upanishads. So that's then what Prabhupada's given us. He's given us the Bhagavatam is the book, so you have the preliminary study and you have the advanced study. But the point is, the book is Bhagavatam. That's our book. Does that make sense? So if someone, sometimes you may meet an Indian scholar or stuff like that, so if they ask, okay, in your sampradaya, what's your book? Or in your line, what's your book? Then you have Srimad Bhagavatam's that book. So everything's connected to there.
Where do we have the CC into this thing?
Where do we put CC?
Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes, it's your advanced postgraduate study of the Bhagavatam. So in other words, it's still a study of Bhagavatam, but it's the postgraduate study. So now you're seeing the Bhagavatam in relationship to how Lord Chaitanya and his associates practiced it. But all that they're quoting is Bhagavatam. Right? And the Gita is then the preliminary, so that you understand what's the ABCs of the points that are being made in the Bhagavatam.
So could you say the Chaitanya Charitamrita like an instruction manual of how we should practice, like implementing Srimad Bhagavatam on earth?
Basically, as Gaudiyas, then we see that's how it's done, but it's a more advanced study than the Bhagavatam. It means it's Bhagavatam, but in a more advanced study. Like Gita is Bhagavatam, but in a more, making you familiar with what's going on. It's not that there's any new points that are being made in Bhagavatam from Gita. It's just they're more deep. And it's not that Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is giving something new. It's just going more deep.
And Lord Chaitanya's mood, right?
Yes, why not? Yes.
So can we say in Gita, the focus is mostly on Sambandha. In Bhagavatam, it's more on the Abhideya, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is mostly on Prayojana?
Yeah, you could say. I mean, they'll all talk about all the things, but you'll see the emphasis will be on that. Yes. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. The full moon shone in the sky, surrounded by stars, just as Sri Krishna, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, shone brilliantly on the earth, surrounded by all the Vrishnis. Except for the gopis, whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. The wind was neither hot nor cold. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. When there are ample blossoming flowers in the gardens, in the forest, the fresh aromatic breeze gives a great relief to the person who is suffering during the summer and rainy seasons. Unfortunately, such breezes could not give any relief to the gopis because of their heart's dedication to Krishna. People in general might have taken pleasure in the nice autumn breeze, but the gopis, not being embraced by Krishna, were not very much satisfied. And so it's just the intensity is so much that that mood that they have will always remain no matter what the situation is. Does that make sense? So that's why then we can see is the Brajbasis are the highest, because no amount of opulence by the Lord distracts them, but then also that absorption we see is the greatest in the gopis. Sukadeva Goswami continued, by the influence of the autumn season, all the cows, doe, women, and female birds became fertile and were followed by their respective mates in search of sexual enjoyment. Just as activities performed for the service of the Supreme Lord are automatically followed by all beneficial results. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. On the arrival of the autumn season, all the cows, deer, birds, and females in general become pregnant, because in that season, all the husbands generally become impelled by sex desire. Such pregnant females are exactly like the transcendentalists who, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, are bestowed with the benediction of their destinations in life. Srila Rupa Goswami is instructed in his Upadeshamrita that one should execute devotional service with great enthusiasm, patience and conviction, and follow the rules and regulations, keep oneself clean from material contamination, and stay in the association of devotees. By following these six principles, one is sure to achieve the desired result of devotional service. For him who patiently follows the regulative principles of devotional service, the time will undoubtedly come when he will achieve the desired result, as the females reap the results by becoming pregnant. Right? So we stick to the process of devotional service, following what Rupa Goswami has said, as instructed here by Srila Prabhupada. Then one can be confident that with time, then one will be reap the results of devotional service or developing love for Krishna. It's just a matter of time. That's just how Krishna's arranged it. So, Sukadeva Goswami continued. O King Parikit, when the autumn sun rose, all the lotus flowers blossomed happily, except the night-blooming Kumut. Just as in the presence of a strong ruler, everyone becomes fearless except the thieves. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, during the autumn, the lotus flowers in the lake grow in large numbers because of the absence of lilies. Both the lilies and the lotus flowers grow by sunshine. But during the autumn season, the scorching sunshine helps only the lotus. This is compared to a country where the king or the government is strong. Oh. Okay. Because when you come into Gurukul, I don't know if you see it, when you come in the morning, there's that just field of water where we normally are planting vegetables, and there's water. It's full of lilies.
Yeah.
But if you go now, when you go out now, you'll see many of them are closed. But when you come in, you'll see they're open. So as long as the sun is there, they're not. But the lotuses, as the sun comes, that's when they're out. The scorching sun, that's what they like. Yeah. This is compared to a country where the king or the government is strong. The unwanted elements like thieves and robbers cannot prosper. When the citizens become confident that they will not be attacked by robbers, they develop with great satisfaction. Because if you think you're going to be always, people are going to steal, you're very careful about what you do and everything. You don't actually do things that will create too much prosperity because it will be noticed by the thieves. Right? Yeah. So when the government's strong, then there's no problem because people can become confident and the thieves become less confident. So you can tell how technically how strong is the government by are there more or less thieves in the country. Are the people confident and the thieves are not? Or are the thieves confident and the people are not? So you can, it's directly perceivable. Sukadeva Goswami continued. In all the towns and villages, people held great festivals, performing the Vedic fire sacrifice for honoring and tasting the first grains of the new harvest, along with similar celebrations that follow local custom and tradition. Thus the earth, rich with newly grown grain and especially beautified by the presence of Krishna and Balaram, shone beautifully as an expansion of the Supreme Lord. The merchants, sages, kings, and brahmachari students kept in by the rain were at last free to go out and attain their desired objects. Just as those who achieve perfection in this life can, when the proper time comes, leave the material body and attain their respective forms. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. In Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful. Then, because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram, the mercantile community, the royal order, the great sages, and the great sages were free to move about in order to achieve their desired benedictions. Similarly, the transcendentalists, when freed from the encagement of the material body, also achieved their desired goal. During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another. So the stopping of the rains, and now they're moving. During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another, and so do not get their desired profit. Nor can the royal order go from one place to another to collect taxes from the people. As for saintly persons who must travel to preach transcendental knowledge, they are also restrained by the rainy season. But during the autumn, all of them leave their confines. In the case of the transcendentalist, be he a jnani, a yogi, or a devotee, because of the material body, he cannot actually enjoy spiritual achievement. But as soon as he gives up the body, or after death, the jnani merges into the spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Lord. The yogi transfers himself to the various higher planets, and the devotee goes to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan, or one of the Vaikunthas, and thus enjoys his eternal spiritual life. So like that, then everybody's being restricted in the autumn season, but then now in the rainy season, but now in the autumn, now they can go out as the land dries up and you're able to move about. Now you can do the things, whatever it is you wanted to achieve, you can do. Right? Does that make sense? Like, let's say you wanted to air out all your winter clothes and bedding and all that. You can't do that during the rainy season. Mm-hmm. You know, so now you can do that. So the whole idea is that the material body actually restricts the benefits that you can get for those who are the transcendentalists. Then by that you can move up. By leaving the body, then we see the yogis, they can go to the higher planets, the jnanis can go to the Brahman, the devotees can go back to Godhead. So like that. Yeah. So in this you see that the yogis are counted as karmis. It's a different system and it can go either way, but generally speaking, for most, they're karmis. Very rare anybody will get to the position of actually being a jnani. But then it's carried in there. So that's why you can say karma and jnana and not say yoga. Or you can say karma and jnana because you want to throw in yoga because so many people are into it. So, makes sense. Yeah. Because they're trying to restrict the senses and that. So they don't look like karmis. They look more like jnanis. But then they're restricting the senses. It's just another way to get to the heavenly planets without doing a yajna. Yeah. that make sense? So chapter 21, the gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute. What was the tikkia in the last one? Okay, so the tikkia in the last chapter, people have gradually degenerated to godlessness. Because the unauthorized atheistic propaganda in the age of Kali breaks the boundary of the Vedic injunctions. So we see is that the devotees then, they get relieved of this by the being involved in Krishna consciousness. So the senses are engaged, everything becomes engaged, so then they become free from this. But those who don't, they become covered by the rainy season or by the modes of nature, then they take up this demoniac mentality. To chapter 21, the gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute, pratigya. To see Krishna as the goal for all persons and not simply the gopis. Okay, so the chapter is that what we were saying before. Everybody sees that surrender of the gopis as something of value. So everybody makes that endeavor. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 21st chapter describes how the gopis, afflicted by their love of Krishna on hearing his flute, began to praise the flute, Vrindavan, the female animals, and the female devatas. The gopis described the pastimes that Krishna performed in the forest, which they viewed from the village with loving eyes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, after describing the autumn season, in order to begin the description of the pastimes of the song of the flute, which is intimately related to it, first describes the entrance of Krishna into Vrindavan, decorated with the sweetness of autumn. Shardarta Darshani 10:21.1. Shloka Sharanam, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 20. The gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute. Note, since there are only four verses in this chapter that are not included in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Bhagavad Arkamichi Mala, and since they appear in two related chapters, we will list them all here so as not to constantly disrupt the flow of the pastime. So we have a lot of verses. It means out of 20, 16 of them, so the majority of the chapter is there. Verses 2, 3, 5, 10, 11, 13, 14, 16, 17, and 20 appear in chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. And verses 7, 9, 12, 15, 18, and 19 appear in chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right, so we'll see is various ways they're tasting this nectar and various ways that they're absorbed in the sweetness of the relationship with Krishna. Right, so does that make sense? So there's the position of what is the sweetness of the devotional service, pure devotional service, and then there's the tasting of it. Right? What it is that they're tasting from it. What are the elements that are there? Does that make sense? Sukadeva Goswami said, thus the Vrindavan forest was filled with transparent autumnal waters and cooled by breezes perfumed with the fragrance of lotus flowers growing in the clear lakes. The infallible Lord, accompanied by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, entered that Vrindavan forest. The lakes, rivers, and hills of Vrindavan resounded with the sounds of maddened bees and flocks of birds moving about the flowering trees. In the company of the cowherd boys and Balaram, Madhupati, Sri Krishna, entered that forest. And while herding the cows, he began to vibrate his flute. When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Vraja heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. Right, so these things are this level is discussed in a closed group. These aren't the discussions for the general audience. Right, so they're discussing in that way because, as you see, is that most all the verses are all coming within the Prayojana section or the taste that one is getting from that, how they're situated. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Spelling sometimes, yes.
Sometimes we see that senior devotees, they, as it mentioned here, they have this kind of private discussions.
Yes.
So is it good to try to get into that kind of...
It just depends if you're... If in other words, what that kind of situation is where if they appreciate you being there, then be there. Because if you they don't appreciate you being there, then what they'll talk won't be what you expect to hear.
Well, they obviously don't invite, you know. But then, you know...
No, but some do.
They wanna...
No, some do.
Yeah, some do.
So it should be one of those you should ask.
Okay.
You know. Because the point is you can only discuss depending upon the environment. Like Lord Chaitanya at Srivast Thakur's house, if someone tried to enter in to just be part of the scene, Lord Chaitanya would notice it and it wouldn't have the same flavor, so you can't discuss the same thing. So the person who tries to crash the party, you won't, it won't be anything different than you probably hear in the Bhagavatam class, though it's more relaxed. Right? So if one asks about it and they are agreeable to you coming, then it will carry on in that same discussion as before. So one can say, oh, that's nice, everyone's so here. No, that's the whole point, is everybody can't hear. That's why it has to be something separate. You know what I'm saying? We may decide, no, everybody should hear, but no, everybody shouldn't hear. They wouldn't know what to do with it. Because that's why you see, when they do discuss these things, they just generally stick to a nice storyline and bring out a few nice little sweet bits and this and that, but they don't get too deep into it. Is that something? Because that you can just discuss generically. Is that, yeah. So, yeah, better to ask. Because otherwise, when they find you hiding behind the sofa and you get yourself thrown out, then it might be, you know, a little embarrassing. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, On hearing the flute, the gopis began to describe him constantly or began making songs of their own. Ana Varanayan. The cause is mentioned. They heard the flute with an appearance of love. Though he was engaged in playing the flute at this time, Pauganda. Right, so even though it's the Pauganda age, right, so 6 to 10, still he's playing the flute, then aroused this appearance of love. So there's that appearance of it. He aroused them because of his skillfulness in manifesting Kishor age even at this time. Right, because in the Pauganda age, then, you know, this is never manifest. That's why Krishna performs his pastimes at this time, so you can understand that they're transcendental. Otherwise, just as we're making the mistakes about Mother Jashoda's upset, why does Krishna allow that? We can make the same mistake, you know, by Krishna and the gopis. We'll say, well, all kids do that. You know, what's the specialness? You know, so that's the thing. On seeing the beauty of the autumn, he became stimulated and began practicing his flute playing to attract them. Thus, they became aroused at this time and began to describe him. Right? So practicing means he knows what to do, but that's the point in the classical music. Then it's something that you have the techniques what are there, but then there's various ways you can put it together. Does that make sense? So you can practice. You play the flute in this way, a particular aspect of the melody, and then you can add in other notes or how you go through those notes, various ways, quicker, slower, adding in various ornaments, and all these things you can go through. And in this way, then he can create so many varieties within this. So then Krishna's, you know, practicing like this. Not that he needs to practice because they become better. It's just an expression. You know, that this is how you can express in so many ways. Thus they became aroused at this time and began to describe him. They heard from far away, but completely, since the nature of the sound of his flute was that it spread everywhere because of its deep tones, asrutya, or even hearing it a little, some kaschit, such as Radha, became affected. Right, so others heard very completely and they became affected, but so ones like Radharani, then just hearing just a little bit, she's affected. Because it's just so much more deep, her affection. All the women of Braja heard, however, since the sound is described in verse 6 as Sarvabhuta Manoharam, attractive to all beings. Thus women like Jashoda became aroused with Vatsalya sentiments, not Madhurya sentiments, or Smarodhayam. Radha spoke to her friends such as Lalita to reveal her mental anguish. Right, so the cowherd boys are hearing it, and that it makes it arises the mood of the Anubhavs connected with the Shakya. So the point is in Vrindavan the flute is the constant attendant. So Krishna plays the flute, and he's so expert that the same playing of the flute then inspires, there's the Udipan for all these different devotees in their specific rasa. So it's everybody. Because when you see the listings of what are the Udipans, in each rasa, the flute is part of it. Mm-hmm. Especially in the Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. But, so it's not that it's one there and the other is, you know, it's not that the cowherd boy is, okay, here he goes again, you know, all this, you know, sentimental, mushy stuff. You know. No, it's just everybody hears it, but he plays it, and each one gets from it their own point. That's the whole thing, is hearing about the pastimes of the gopis, everybody can become inspired to improve the quality of their devotional service. Because it's not what they're doing, it's the mood in which they're doing it. That's the important thing. Does that make sense? So that's what has to be seen. It's the mood that's important. That then manifests as the secondary. She told only her intimate friend, Swa, because of great embarrassment. Moreover, she did this privately, hiding her emotions. Right? So that's why it's there. It's not something that's publicly discussed. While Mother Jashoda, that can be discussed publicly. Mother Jashoda, you know, ignoring the senior members of the community there, then rushes forward because of her anxiety about Krishna. And then all the other ladies that are there, her friends and that, try to stop her, Balaram then, and this and that. And then when he comes out and he's okay, she again moves forward. No one has a problem. But the gopis, they see the opportunity also to move forward, but they don't move forward because they know then, you know, everything will become disturbed. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that's why you'll see is generally examples being given, and that will be more on if it's a general thing with Mother Jashoda, the cowherd boys, the residents of Vrindavan, like this. And the gopis will generally be more specific, other than just saying their complete attachment, their total love, things like that. They'll just mention that much. Is that? Yeah?
So the only time actually that the gopi, they show their affection for Krishna is when Akrura and Krishna and Balaram, they mount that chariot. And
but even there they restrict themselves because they're worried. But then when they decide that, well, if Krishna goes, our life is finished, and if we stop him and he stays and therefore our families then lock him up, then we're also finished, but at least in the one, he's here in Vrindavan, we know he's here, we can hear his flute and hear about him. So that was the better of the two. But they did contemplate whether they should go, because by going, then it will be obvious what's happening. They'll reveal their affection. And so then, you know, socially it will not work out well. So even there, there's a consideration, but because of the extremity of it, therefore, then they move forward. But everybody in Vrindavan has such anxiety, so it appears that no one noticed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so here, intimate friends, Sva. Sva means those who are so, Svajati means those who are close. That's where you discuss more one's realizations and things like that. But in general, then you discuss the general philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But one's own realizations, that you discuss with those who are have a similar nature. That makes sense. Yes?
It is said that if you do have some special realizations or emotions, you shouldn't reveal.
Yeah, and that's also there.
But if you want to not to discuss it, it's also the question of the mood. You do it to promote yourself, or you do it to share it with those you care about.
But then you'll see it if it's in very specific cases.
Specific cases.
Then it takes on a different flavor.
It's not about boasting.
That's why publicly it's not done, because then by doing it publicly, you can say anything publicly, and if you're bold enough, then people buy it. Yeah. You know, so one avoids that.
I'm not talking about public. I'm talking about even privately.
It depends upon what it is and what's the relationship and nature and all those things like that.
But so it's done to help people or to share in the sense that...
But it's only sharing is if it's going to encourage the devotional.
Yeah, encourage them.
That. Yeah, but the point is it's not a preaching thing.
No.
You know, yeah. So it's on a different level. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So that's why we're careful, means careful about, you know, what we were saying in the earlier discussion about being committed to Prabhupada and connected there, because this sva, do you want to be in that group or you want to be in a different group to where you're not sva? That's what it comes down to. You know? So Sukadeva Goswami continued. The cowherd girls began to speak about Krishna. But when they remembered his activities, O king, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds. And thus they could not speak. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, he entered the forest of Vrinda, who was the controller of that forest. She was always eager to make arrangements for Krishna's special pastimes. The forest was charming, Ramanam, or gave happiness to all because of his extraordinary footprints everywhere. So she's making wonderful arrangements, as we see in the pastimes Krishna and Balaram are discussing about how nice it is, the forest and all that. So the forest has made all these arrangements nicely for Krishna. But Krishna, being with his elder brother, then it's embarrassing to say, so he talks about it in connection with him, Balaram. And in one sense it is, because the arrangements are made to please him, to please Krishna. Does that make sense? But he'll present it that it's directly to please him. So then Vrinda then controls the forest. So she makes all the nice arrangements so that it's very, you know, attractive for the service to Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O king, when the young ladies in Vraja heard the sound of Krishna's flute, which captivates the mind of all living entities, they all embraced one another and began describing it. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, all the gopis indicate all strengths of attachment, such as deep, medium, and light. Because when you're dealing in here, you have all these different aspects that make up the variety of heroines. And so then, one of the considerations is this, deep, medium, and light. So how much is there absorbed? So Radharani is the deepest. Then there's her followers. Then there's the general gopis. Right? Mm-hmm. So this kind of that affection for Krishna. So here it says all gopis. He means all of them. They mentally embrace Krishna who had overpowered their hearts. So it means all gopis will be affected, but here, what we're hearing most of the time is, as the Acharya said, it seems to be that there may be specifically talking about Radharani and her group. But it also may include others. Out of awakening of love, they mistook their friends as Krishna and embraced them. Or they embraced each other because their natural love had awakened. This was because the sound of the flute was attractive to all beings, and what to speak of only the gopis. So then, in some way, they're connecting to Krishna, remembering Krishna. And because of this, and seeing everybody connected to Krishna, so in either way of seeing their friends as Krishna, or seeing their friends connected to Krishna, then that affection is there. Yeah?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nityananda Gaurav Premanand ki.